You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we are recapping the Bears' blowout Week 4 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll be joined by Trevor Sikkema, who is a Buccaneers beat reporter for PewterReport.com. He was in Soldier Field covering the game today from the press box. He's also one of the hosts of Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we'll kind of get the Tampa Bay perspective on what exactly went wrong for them and what went so right for the Bears in Week 4. But before we bring on Trevor, I think we need to step back and talk about kind of what happened here, because, you know, the listeners of this podcast know last week I predicted a Tampa Bay Buccaneers win. I didn't think it would be particularly dominant, but I thought the Bears would have some trouble and the Buccaneers would emerge victorious. Obviously, that was way wrong, and I don't know if anybody quite predicted a 48-10 victory for the Bears, but it was an explosion of a game from the Bears, and I'd like to just kind of go through, okay, well, what exactly was I wrong about here, and what went so differently than maybe I and others expected? First of all, Trubisky played at a level that we have not seen from him yet in his career through what is now 16 games, a full season worth of starts. This was a more confident, a more technically sound, a more aggressive, a more comfortable Mitchell Trubisky than I think we've seen at this point in his NFL career. So that certainly threw a wrench in a lot of my thoughts about what was going to happen, that he and Matt Nagy were absolutely on fire, calling a great game from a play calling standpoint, slinging it down the field, finding open receivers, and kind of in with that, I perhaps overestimated this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. I thought the Bears would be able to score points. I thought they'd be able to get some offense going, but I didn't think 350 yards and 6 touchdowns from Mitchell Trubisky. You know, I was impressed with how much of the offense he was able to command, the way he was able to find receivers down the field in a way that I didn't think he would. I thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might give him some space in between the 20s, but I didn't think they'd give him so many easy big play touchdown opportunities, and I was really impressed with the Bears' red zone offense as well. Some real steps forward there. And as far as defensively goes with this Ryan Fitz magic, you know, maybe I overestimated the Buccaneers' offense a little bit and perhaps overestimated their offensive line. I was surprised how poorly the right tackle DeMar Dotson plays, because he had been so solid for the last year and a half now plus in his career. And I thought, you know, on the other side, Ali Marpet might be able to hold things down, but really the right guard Caleb Beninock and the left tackle Donovan Smith were awful. And all it really takes is really one big hole in the offensive line can cause problems. Two big holes, and you get what you got from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that game. You know, I didn't think Fitzpatrick was particularly terrible, you know, nor was Jameis Winston. I mean, Winston had more success, but the Bears had kind of dialed back the aggressiveness a little bit when Winston had come in. And I thought, you know, a Kevin Tolliver played a little bit better than I expected, and perhaps more so, I was surprised how poorly the Buccaneers tried to take advantage of that matchup. You know, we saw Mike Evans on him a couple times, but Evans dropped a pass or two along the way, and it just kind of seemed like they weren't really attacking that weak point in the Bears secondary all that well. I mean, they threw some balls his way, but it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't seem to isolate him in a lot of areas where it would take advantage of his inexperience. I thought there might be some coverage busts like we had seen last week, but instead, again, the pass rush steps up and rushes Fitzpatrick a little bit. The receivers don't create a lot of space and a lot of plays after the catch. I mean, DeSean Jackson did, but generally speaking, you weren't seeing a lot after the catch from the Buccaneers. And, it was just a poorly coached team to me on both sides of the ball, and the Fitzmagic kind of wore off as a result. Again, I wasn't overly disappointed with what Fitzpatrick had done. It was just, it wasn't the same Buccaneers offense as a whole that I had seen on tape entering this game, particularly looking back over against the Eagles game before this one and a little bit of the Steelers game. It just seemed like an offense that knew what to do, and Fitzpatrick always knew where to look, and there seemed to be route concepts that were in position to identify the defensive coverage and then attack the defensive coverage. We just didn't see that against the Bears. And, you know, maybe Khalil Mack throws a bit more of a wrench in that than perhaps even I had accounted for. And, I mean, that you can say so much about another dominating performance from him. But for me, this game was a combination of a newfound confidence in Trubisky, more creativity, and maybe even dialing things back in a sense, making things easier on Trubisky from Matt Nagy. And then the Bears defense really shutting down a lot of what Tampa Bay tried to do, and Tampa Bay's coaching staff and offense not really schemed up and in sync the way it seemed like the last couple weeks. And, you know, you can't necessarily isolate any of those things individually, because I think at the end of the day, they were all connected. They all kind of lead into each other, and it built up into a 48-10 blowout for the Bears. It certainly didn't line up with what Vegas was expecting. You know, in the week leading up to the game, we had talked about how the Bears were 3-point favorites on mybookie.ag, and I'm not a very good sports bettor, because I would have taken the Buccaneers +3 with the spread there, and obviously Bears won by 38, not exactly anything a Vegas line would be able to prepare for, but hey, if you're confident in this Bears team, you're seeing the way this team continues to grow, and you want to get in on the action once they get out of the bye week, mybookie.ag is the place to place your wagers. They have in-game and live betting as well, plenty of rewarding player perks and some fun prop bets, and even like over-unders on like fantasy points scored by players. There's a lot of different ways to get involved at mybookie.ag. If you go out there and sign up now, MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. So we were just talking through sort of the Bears side of things from their win over the Buccaneers. Let's get a Tampa Bay perspective here with one of my favorite Tampa Bay reporters, a guy who I think takes a very objective look at the team that he covers, and a guy whose voice you've heard before on this podcast. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Trevor Sikkema. He is one of the hosts of Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network, but he also covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a beat reporter for Pewter Report. He was at Soldier Field today covering the game. And Trevor, what was it like? How surprised were you? What was just kind of your general takeaway from what you saw?
You know, I've got to think that Bears fans were probably, you know, really enjoying that one and maybe, you know, couldn't believe what they were seeing. But it's so weird, having watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the last, really, 5 to 10 years, really since the golden ages of when Gruden was the coach back in the day, just how often terrible games like this happen for the Buccaneers. They've had so many bad ones. I mean, when they were playing the Ravens a couple of years ago and they were down 42-0 at half, same thing with the Falcons game in 2011, they lost 48-3. This is not something that's all too unfamiliar. And so it's weird to say, but as I kept, you know, live tweeting through the game and make my notes and everything, I was just kind of going about business. It's like, yep, all right, Bears scored again. There it is. Yep, blown coverage. There it is. And I guess it's a major problem how much of a common that is in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kind of history there. But, hey, hats off to the Bears, though. I thought Nagy had a really great game plan against them. Even with, you know, even if you fix some of the blatant blown coverages that they had during the game, the miscues, obviously, you know, when hope gets dashed as much as it did, the second half of the game really didn't even matter that much. But I thought even if you fix those things, the Bears really had a good chance to edge out the Buccaneers, even in the way that it was played, because it was a great game plan that was called. I think it was well executed. And I thought it was, you know, as the game went on, this truly was the Bears game to be had. But, you know, this on the Buccaneers side, no excuse for a 48-10 final score. I mean, it was kind of just off the deep end there, but certainly don't want to take anything away from the Bears. I thought they had a great game plan. They had a great day, even if you fix a lot of the blatant mistakes the Buccaneers had.
Well, let's get into some of this Buccaneers performance, because, like, I didn't feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick played terribly. I mean, the offense wasn't really able to get anything going, and, you know, he threw that interception, but it wasn't like he was, you know, throwing picks all over the field and, you know, badly missing open receivers. It just, you know, what was your assessment of sort of the end of Fitz magic that we saw in front of our eyes?
Yeah, so I think statement number one has to be, what the hell was John Gruden thinking trading Khalil Mack in any way to any team? Because that guy is unbelievable. And I know the Bears had a nice front seven before that, but he truly is that icing on the cake. I mean, you just see how that defensive line runs through his energy and his production, and it truly elevates everyone else. And the Buccaneers offensive line just was not up to blocking the Bears front four. And even whenever they kind of disguised pressure when they really didn't even have to, they were effective in basically everywhere that they had it. So no, I mean, I'm with you. You know, somebody asked me after the game, how would you grade Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston's performances this game? And I said, you know, I'd probably give Jameis a little bit of a better grade just because he brought a spark to the offense when he came in the second half. But I mean, it wasn't Fitzpatrick's fault. Fitzpatrick was very low on the list of guys I think that were to blame for this game. I thought he did fine. He had a couple of big shots to DeSean Jackson. Yeah, they couldn't finish in the red zone, but that was much more of a team and a game plan and an execution as a whole kind of a thing than it was a Fitzpatrick thing. And so, you know, I really do think that this is the last that we have seen of Fitzpatrick this season, barring an injury. I think it is Jameis Winston's helm to have control of for the rest of 2018. And so you're right, kind of it is the end of Fitzmagic. And it's very odd because even in last game, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, when he threw those three interceptions, I went back and looked at the tape, and all three of them really weren't even his fault. And so it's been a weird four games for him as the starter, knowing that he's about to lose his job. He had the historic performances in the first 2 weeks, and he really didn't do that much wrong. It was really the team around him that failed him a lot more than Fitzpatrick did.
And I know it's always kind of hard to tell what to pin down on coaching versus player execution. But, you know, you see DeSean Jackson with over 100 yards, and I think almost all 100 of that came with Ryan Fitzpatrick, or at least quite a bit of it came early on. They were getting some plays downfield, and Mike Evans made some plays early on. I mean, obviously the running game hasn't gotten going all season, but I mean, how much of this from an offensive game plan standpoint for the Buccaneers, how much of that do you blame on Dirk Koetter not being able to get things going versus just an offensive line and a front kind of overwhelmed by a Bears defense?
No, it was coaching today. I think on both sides of the ball it was coaching. They were in no way mentally prepared for this football game. We talked to the players afterwards, and they talked about, you know, not executing, not doing the things that they needed to in the game plan. But man, that is just the kind of the talk that just you're saying that because you want to save your coach. And I think at the end of the day, they were not prepared. They were not prepared for this Bears team. They didn't go into it with the right mindset. Certainly they didn't execute well, but I think it was much more on how the coaches went about bringing the players into this game and getting them mentally ready to do what they needed to do to beat the Bears. And you just saw, you know, from the jump, they gave up that first early touchdown. Then, you know, they forced the Bears into a punt, and it's like, okay, here you go. Like the game, it's still a game. And then all of a sudden you blink and it's 28-3, then it's 35-3. And then it's completely out of hand. And that is nothing but coaching. I think from both sides, the offense and the defense, they were in no way prepared when they started the game, and they were in no way prepared for the adversity that the Chicago Bears certainly put on them, and hats off to them. They put their foot to the ground with the gas pedal, and they kept going after him in every single way that they could at every single weak spot the Buccaneers had, and whether it was on offense or defense. And so I thought that they did a great job of that, and the Buccaneers and their coaching staff did an absolutely, as Dirk Cutter said himself, horrific job of that today.
Well, it was horrific for Buccaneers fans for sure, but I had a couple of friends that went to the game, big Bears fans. They said Soldier Field was electric. The energy was something different that they hadn't felt before in a number of years going to Chicago Bears games. If you're sitting at home watching this, wishing you could have been in on the action at Soldier Field, you got to download the Vivid Seats app to find your tickets to the next Bears game. I'm looking on the app on my phone right now. They've got Patriots at Bears tickets starting at $256. Obviously a marquee matchup there with a little bit of a higher ticket price, but Jets at Bears on Halloween weekend started only $105 per ticket, and I believe Lions at Bears is the next home game after that on November 11th, starting at $110. If you're interested in getting a good deal on some great seats, Vivid Seats is the place to do it, and the Locked On Bears podcast can help you get there even cheaper. Go to the App Store, download this app, and enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off your first order of $200 or more. Again, that's really only a pair of tickets to a Bears game. You're getting $20 off with that Locked On promo code and the Vivid Seats app. Well, we're here with Trevor Sikkema from Pewter Report, the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, and the Draft Network, breaking down Bears Buccaneers here. And let's get to this Bears offense going up against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. I think, you know, on Twitter, the reaction, you get the pessimistic people who say, well, it was purely just a bad Buccaneers offense that the Bears took advantage of. And the other side of the coin says, no, the Bears offense really took it to the Buccaneers defense. From the Tampa Bay perspective, where do you kind of fall on that spectrum?
I mean, I think, you know, I've kind of already said that the Buccaneers absolutely had an awful game on the defensive side. But again, you know, I got to give Trubisky his credit. You know, I mean, he was missing some wide open throws early in that game. But when you have as soft of a defense as the Buccaneers were playing, you eventually gain confidence over that. And then he started throwing dimes all over the place. And so, you know, I had a tweet very early in the game. The Bears fans kind of went back and gave me a little bit of crap for it as the game went on. And I said, Trubisky wasn't even having that good of a game, and the Buccaneers were making him look like a Pro Bowler. Now, that was early on in the game, and that was right after he had missed a couple of wide-open passes, really easy passes that he just should have had, and that's kind of when I tweeted that. But as the game went on, man, he had full confidence as much as anybody else on that did, and that offense did, and they executed. I got to give it to them. They executed very well, and that was the first time I think that we had really seen Trubisky stretch the field in that manner, have that many plays and passes of over 20 yards, and it was good to see from him. That's really good to see from your young quarterback, and so it was great for him to step up. And whether it was against a bad defense or not, you want that kind of confidence to get in your young quarterback, so that was great for him. But certainly on the other side, I mean, the Buccaneers defense basically blew that game in every single drive in every single way that you possibly could. So you do have to take, hey, he was doing it against what is likely the worst defensive in the NFL with the worst defensive coordinator in the NFL. But if you're talented, you're supposed to beat up on those kinds of teams. And so that's why I always say, hey, you can look at it and say this team certainly was not as good as the other one. But if you play well, if you dominate your opponent, that's all you can ask for. And so that's why I think that you still got to be able to praise Trubisky and the Bears offense, even though it is also still true that the Buccaneers kind of probably showed their true colors here as one of the worst, if not the worst, defense in the NFL.
Well, the Bears seem to put a pretty heavy emphasis on Taylor Gabriel and Tariq Cohen, you know, the short and explosive receivers and sometimes runners in this Bears offense. Do you feel like, you know, from Tampa Bay's perspective, was it a lack of speed at all anywhere on this defense? I know they went after MJ Stewart quite a bit in the slot, but there was also some times where it's just the same. They hit the same, seemed like the same downfield like route combinations to kind of run that wheel to the open area against cover three over and over again. And you know, I guess back to the same question as the offense, like how much of that is, you know, two rookie cornerbacks in this defense and injured safeties, and how much of that is Mike Smith not adjusting to what the Bears seemingly were able to do over and over again?
Sure, yeah. No, I do think that having an experienced secondary guy certainly plays into it. And man, you know, MJ, he's a tough kid. He's physical. He can tackle you. He can force some fumbles, and you like that about him. You like that he's got that edge to him, that physicality. But he tested as basically a 25 to 30 percentile athlete for the cornerback position at the combine. And boy, over the last 2 weeks, has he just gotten exposed in that area. And so, you know, the Bucs are kind of really in trouble because they don't have anybody else to go to. With Vernon Hargraves out for the year, that's MJ Stewart's playing in the slot. I mean, that's it. That's all they got. And so I do think that, you know, to your point, they were using some of those smaller, speedier guys. But I think that was all too, again, you know, a really good game plan by Matt Nagy. What he was able to do and get the matchups that he had against the Buccaneers defense, they did their homework. They watched that Steelers game. They did their homework on the personnel that the Bucs were going to have, and they knew where the weak spots were going to be. They knew it in communication with the linebackers, how heavily Tampa Bay still emphasizes their linebackers to get into coverage and communicate, and they went after that hard, and guess what, you know? It paid off for them. That truly ended up being a weakness for the Buccaneers, and so that was a good area. That was a good game plan that they had there.
I think what stood out to me with this Bears offense was just how much time Mitch Trubisky had to throw in the pocket. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush was almost non-existent, and you know, from what I could tell, I haven't watched a ton of Buccaneers tape, but it seemed like they liked to blitz their linebackers at times and didn't really see much of that. We didn't see any of the blitzing that seemed to really hurt Trubisky in the last few games. I mean, how has the Buccaneers pass rush been worse than I thought over the last couple weeks, or was this more of an anomaly, maybe getting tired out from so much time on the field?
No, I think you're kind of starting to see the Buccaneers' true colors, and those true colors really are that either Jason Pierre is going to get the sack or nobody is. I mean, we've already seen that Noah Spence is barely even making this roster at this point. He was inactive for a second game in a row. Gerald McCoy is great at creating pressure up the middle, but it rarely results in stops and finishes within plays. Vinny Curry is a good player, but he's certainly just a complimentary player at this point. So it's tough because, you know, it's harsh saying those words out loud, knowing how talented I think that those guys are, but they don't get it done. I mean, if you don't get it done, you don't get it done. And I can't sit here and praise the talent that you might have and the potential you might have to get after the quarterback if you just don't do it. And so right now, Jason Pierre-Paul is the only guy who can get to the quarterback. He's the only guy who can win his one-on-ones and finish a play himself. He's proven that he's the only dude who could do that. And so that's why I think you look at the names on this Buccaneers defensive line, you think that there's a lot of potential there, but right now it's just potential because the production is extremely one-sided. And if Jason Pierre-Paul isn't getting home, quarterbacks have way too long to pass the ball. I mean, even when the Buccaneers blitz, they just do not get there fast enough. And so that is going to be a major problem, as it was. They had the least amount of sacks in the NFL last year. And so it's not as bad of a problem this year, but it's still a problem.
Well, Trevor, the Buccaneers defensive line has a lot of potential, and so do you. You certainly live up to it every time you're on the podcast. Thanks for joining us to break down the Buccaneers here. Tell everybody a little bit more about, you know, not only what you do at Pewter Report, but also the Draft Network and, of course, Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you're wanting to follow Buccaneers football, however that train wreck might come to fruition throughout 2018, you can follow all my work over at PewterReport.com. You follow me on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. And I also do tons of work in the NFL draft, like you mentioned there, the Draft Network. It's a new draft site, scouting site that launched not too long ago. And we are trying to change the way that you digest the NFL draft. And we're doing a lot of really cool things over there. So if you are a draft fan at all, go over and visit that. And then, of course, yeah, listen to myself and John Ledyard blabber about some college pro football over it. Locked On NFL Draft, and I appreciate you having me on, man. I always enjoy it. I really do.
Hey, thanks for making time for us here as you're getting out of Soldier Field, and I hope you enjoy the All-22 angle as you go back this week.
I'm not sure about that, but we'll have to see.
Thanks again to Trevor Sikkema of Pewter Report and Locked On NFL Draft for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and want even more daily Chicago Bears talk, make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And also check out the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just search the Locked On Bears group on Facebook or go to the Locked On Bears Facebook page, and there's a button right on there that will take you to our group. We've built a solid group of listeners on there enjoying some great talk with their fellow Bears fans, talking about the latest and greatest that happens with this team, and I think that's going to be a great way to get through the bye week here. We'll still have a full slate of podcasts for you as the week goes on. We'll be recapping the All-22 film tomorrow. We'll be breaking down some more in-depth Trubisky talk with maybe a quarterback expert or two in the coming weeks, and we'll review the Bears season up to this point as a whole and try and get a look forward at what could be next. I know this weekend's going to be strange when you're sitting through another Sunday without Bears football, but Locked On Bears is here to get you through the bye week. Should be easier to get through it coming off of a big 48-10 win. And really, I think a performance like that in week four at Soldier Field in front of the home fans, I think it makes it real easy to tune in and bear down.